angel camped all around. Glad he's dead on the cross. The Lord bless each and every one this morning. We do give everyone a very warm welcome into service in the name of the Lord. Just maybe say that, praise the Lord. We thank the Lord and we do surely remember those that laid their lives down, and we appreciate every one of them. And this morning I want to just briefly mention some things about that on the poppy, and also with probably some brothers this morning parading as well. And we want to pray for all those that's parading or taking part in any services today, that the Lord will bless them. And we really appreciate the Lord and the people for the things they've done. You know, there was an old witch on there the other day and some of them radio stations. If I was to mention her name, you should know her. She's high up in the government here, but she's a witch. And she's all on about defeating Orangeism. And they're glad now they're the majority, not the minority, and all the rest of it. But God always has a people. And we mightn't agree with everything that Orangeism's about, but there's one thing I want to tell you this morning. Orangeism originally started for the defense of this country. And it originally was a Christian Bible-based movement. They had truth. They did have truth. And that's what it was based on. And it's like any organization that started out. When you go back, people look at a Lutheran church today and you mightn't think a lot of it. But if you could come with me, if we could this morning be translated back in time to one of Martin Luther's meetings, we would be in revival. We would be in an absolute move of God. If we could be look at a Wesley church this morning, and some of them you mightn't think much of them. But if we were to go back to the days of John Wesley, what a man of God. Rose at 5 in the morning and preached on the cobble streets in England. Powerful man of God. Mighty man of God. Miracles and signs followed him. I have his whole journal at home. It's a massive thick book. I found it at a book, car boot sale one day. Andrew Beecham was telling me about it. And I took him into the office and I says, does it look like that there? And he says, that's it. I found it in a boot sale. God let me find it. I believe that. And the miracles that man saw. So, you see, God has visited his people in every generation. Now we're in a generation and we need to go forward for the Lord in our day. And we don't want to forget, because the Bible warns us, return back to the old paths. And tell your children and your children's children the things the Lord's done. So it's good to have remembrance. And we believe absolutely in remembrance Sunday. And you know, it's like a brother Gary said, it's absolutely the truth. You'd see if some people had their full say in this country, the street preaching would be stopped immediately. Your brothers wouldn't be allowed to go in the streets, you'd be jailed. But so many things would be stopped. And you know, Ian Paisley, many years ago, when I was a wee lad, was offered a bit of a deal that certain preaching would be stopped and he wouldn't do it and they put him in jail. That's the truth, you know. He took a stand. Now I believe God used that man in this country. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe we have freedom, partly because of that man, because God used him. And thank God for the freedom we have. We can come in here this morning. It's not every hall, even though we might agree with different symbols and things. We know that, but they've given us the freedom to have this hall. And we appreciate it. And we pray God's blessing for that. Amen. Let's just read from Matthew 20, and I'll try and be brief this morning. I just want to mention a few important dates, important things. And Matthew 20, verse 4 to 9, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way, and again he went about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. In verse 28 of chapter 20 in Matthew as well, and I'm just reading this to get the phrase, the 11th hour, really. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you have a need or you want to stand in for someone, lift your hand up high to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed. We are a privileged people. And we bless you this morning for the words we've been singing, that you never come down. Lord, old Billy Sunday said, if you had a clicked your finger or moved it or winked an eye, 10,000 angels would have swept down and took you off the cross. But we thank you, Lord, that you stayed on the cross and you finished the work. And not only did you finish it, you declared it is finished. We bless you this morning for the ultimate sacrifice of all ages. We thank you for the greatest gift ever this world knew was Jesus Christ our Lord. We bless you this morning, Lord Jesus, that you promised for two or three of us will come and gather in your name. You will be in the midst of us and that to bless us. We thank you for the blessing we're receiving by coming in your name. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will move in this place this morning. I take authority of every spirit that's contrary to the Holy Spirit. And I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you do. And I pray for every hand that's raised in this house. Father, that you will meet every need and answer every prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I ask you especially this morning for Iris Redmond. Father, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, I pray for the mighty touch of God on her body. I pray you'll save her. Pray you'll bless Jenny and all the family. And Lord, for every widow in this room, that you will bless them and strengthen them and encourage them. And for each and every one of us, that you'll have your way in our lives, we pray. Bless the hands that's raised. Meet every need. Save every soul in this room. All that's near and dear to us, we claim every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you how you've touched Daniel. I give you the praise, all the glory. Lord, you're so good. Lord, we bless you for your goodness, for your mercy that you've shown to every one of us. Bless this service and have your way amongst us. And for those that's walking the day or doing a remembrance, I pray your blessing on them and every one of them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one, you know. You remember last Sunday evening, that wee man, he said so many wonderful things, but how many remember where he mentioned about the big lump of coal? Yes. He said there was a massive big bit of coal fell out into the fire. Well, I filled the bucket yesterday, brought it in, and there was that big lump of coal. Massive big bit of coal. And now you could say it was a coincidence, but for me, the Bible says everything's ordered of God. It was unreal for me because he mentioned it. And there it fell into the fire. And boy, it took it a long time burning. And he said all the wee bits would burn quicker and better. But the one big lump. And I tell you, God wants unity, doesn't it? That's what that was all about. God wants unity. Not separation. But God wants unity. The Holy Spirit, praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Here we, you see this ransom price. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for many. He paid the price for every single one of us. We could not save ourselves, but God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And that begotten means special, unique one. He was special, he was unique, he was different from any other man. And the thing that made him different was this fact: he had no sin. No sin. No wonderful. There was no other man like him, because he was born without sin. And his birth was supernatural. His coming was supernatural. Everything about him was supernaturally attested to by Almighty God. His whole life, when he gave his life a ransom for many. The Flanders Fields poppy here, I just want to just say a few things about it. The idea to use a poppy as a symbol of remembrance came from a poem in Flanders Fields by Canadian Dr. Jim McRae while stationed in the fields. And now, how many, who can say that name? Y-P-R-E-S. Y Press. E Press. Apes. Apes. I spelled with a Y, but it's apes. I knew I had said it wrong, you see. Apes. But these are the fields he was in. Just if somebody's listening to say that fella doesn't know what he's talking about. But this is where these fields he was stationed. McRae and his fellow soldiers, inspired by the bright red poppies that littered the field. You see, the whole landscape was obliterated with the war. Everything was blown to pieces. Holes in the ground everywhere. And you think now in Israel, the bombs, and you see it in television, what it happens. And you think back here, these bombs, and yet with all these wee poppies grew out of it. They grew out of the ground. The poppy's beautiful. It's beautiful to look at, you know. And they come out of these ground, and where all other life had been destroyed from the bombardment of the shelling, the conditions were perfect for the poppies, which thrived in all the chaos. And following the end of the war, the fields in Flanders were overrun with poppies, concealing the battered and scattered landscape below. They grew everywhere, all over the fields. Now, I want to just mention a few dates, and I won't be long this morning because we're going to do communion. World War I was from 1914 to 1918. And World War II was from 1939 to 1935. Now, 45. Thanks, brother. Keep me right because I'm getting older. 1945. The guns fell silent on the 11th hour, the 11th day, the 11th month. And bringing in the end of World War I in 1918 is when the guns fell silent in 1918. But you see, if you were to go into Revelation this morning, many of these wars can be traced into Revelations, because the angels held back the judgment and the war ceased. Now, I haven't got time this morning to go into Revelations, but I just want to briefly mention a few things. So 1945 was when the Second World War ceased. And we know the 11th hour, the 11th day, the 11th month, we celebrate that. It's a Remembrance Sunday. We're having the day, people will be out the day having a remembrance for all them people that died in these wars. And you know another thing I'm going to tell you is about it, what people don't want you to know in this country. There was Protestants and Catholics both served side by side, and they both died. And this idea of it being an orange thing or Protestants only is a lie. All served their country and all of them died side by side. But what's happened is we have a bunch of propaganda for certain members in this country. You know that. You don't mean me to go into that this morning, and I'm not going to. But I want to give you some facts here this morning about God. 1945, that World War finished. Now remember that God in the 40s was moving mightily, and God from 1914, and you know the Sousa Street Revival started in the early 1900 with a colored man that was blind in one eye. And you know that God began to move in the church world, because the church world had not seen the gifts of the Spirit or the movement of the Spirit for many years. And God began to pour out the Holy Spirit church. And the climax of it was a man called Smith Wigglesworth. And there's no debating that. Smith Wigglesworth was mightily used of God. And Smith Wigglesworth went to be with the Lord in 1947. Now think of that here this morning for a moment. 1947. And think in England, we had the Jeffrey brothers. And that's the Elam Church came from George Jeffreys. And you know the reason George Jeffreys left Elam Church? Because he organized. And they wanted to have a pope over it instead of it being individually controlled with it. In every church, sovereignly. They wanted to have someone to control it all. And George Jeffreys didn't agree with that. And he knelt down and he wept in front of other men and cried and prayed for them and split from them. And then he started the apostolic movement. And the four square gospel was not started with George Jeffreys. Some people believe that that's wrong. It was a woman started it. And that woman was Amy Sample McPherson. And I have her whole life story at home. And she was mightily used of God. And part of her name came from her late husband that passed away. And he was mightily used of God. And he died as a young man. And she continued with his name. And that's how the four square gospel started. It didn't start with George Jeffreys. That's wrong. But some people believe that, but that's wrong. She started it. And she was a mighty woman of God. But here's the thing what I want to tell you this morning. Wigglesworth passed away, and the Spirit of God visited Wigglesworth and said, there is a ministry coming which is greater than your ministry, but do not press into it. It is not for you. And he gave him, he said, the man's name will have seven letters. That was William Branham. And in 1946, the angel of the Lord visited William Morian Branham with the gift of healing to the nations. You said, what's that got to do with the remembrance and all these things? Because you need to be remembered. You need to be remembered. We're probably the only church in this country that will mention this morning. But I'm going to remind you what God's done. God has done certain things and we need to remember them. And I tell you, 1946, with the healing ministry, then in 1948, Israel became a nation. Some people actually say 1946. But you see, Wigglesworth went off the field and God put another man on the field, and the move of God and the gift of God didn't get lesser, it got more. And they had the nine spiritual gifts which he operated in, and Wigglesworth was absolutely an outstanding man with an outstanding ministry. And George Jeffreys, bless your heart, read about George Jeffreys. Read about his brothers well. And I tell you, them men, the Jeffrey brothers, Stephen Jeffreys, that man died, you know, young, and he was totally worn out. Worn out. He served the Lord that much. And God mightily used Stephen Jeffreys and George Jeffreys. And then we have a man over here, we never hear anybody mention, a man by the name of McCone. And his name really stood out to me because I chummed with certain fellow McCones, and I believe he's related to them. Now, I'm not sure about that, but I think he's related to them. But George Jeffreys and them prayed for him in Antrim as a young man. And he ended up going to Africa and he was mightily used of God. But isn't it amazing how that God was moving in the midst of the war and in the midst of all the trouble, the Spirit of God was moving in a very mighty and special way. And God was sent in the ministry, testified with an angel. And not only testified to the angel said, not even cancer will stand before your prayers, William Branham, if you're sincere when you pray for people. They will be healed of cancer when you pray for them. And we know that's one of the most deadliest things that's in this country today is cancer. But God gifted that man and the angel of the Lord led him. And I believe that that's a dispensation, the seventh church age. We're in the last church age, brothers and sisters. And God is going to turn again to Israel. And us as Gentiles, we're going to be raptured or caught out of here. And the coming of the Lord's near. It's near. And I tell you, we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And we need to understand these things. And if we believe in seven angel messengers, according to Revelations, seven stars in the hand of Jesus, And each star represents an angel, and each angel represents a messenger. God has a messenger to each church age, and we've had seven church ages. And I believe William Branham's ministry was a ministry to this last church age. I believe that. And it is a warning for us that the coming of the Lord is near. And I don't believe God does these things for us to just fire them to the side and not remember them. We're to tell our children and our children's children about these things. And it's good, you know, if my dad was here. I'm not good at these things. Mark did better and made this last the other week here. These dates and all, I'm terrible at all that stuff. But my dad could take you into the world wars and tell you the different things. We had relations in them wars. The Watts were in them. The Thompsons were in these wars. There's some of us sitting here this morning. We had relations that died in these wars. And I tell you, God wants us to remember these things. Praise God. Now you think of it, this is 2023. And you think from the angel came in 1946, Israel became a nation in 1948, and many people thought the coming of the Lord would be over. By 1970, it'd be all over. Many people thought that. And you can see why they thought that. And brothers and sisters, the coming of the Lord is nearer now than it's ever been before. And we're living in the most difficult age for preaching the gospel than any other age. We never faced before what we're facing today. This is right back to like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Like our brother Gary mentioned, when you see these, the rainbow team. And you say a word against them, you're called homophobic. And they have absolutely guttered the rainbow. That's the best way I can describe it to you. They've guttered it, they've thrashed it. And they use six colors. But the rainbow that God sent has seven colors. Because six is man's number. 666 will be his number. That's the beast. But God's number is seven. And seven church ages, seven seals, seven stars. Seven means perfection. And that comes from God. Now, I want to mention also this 11th hour. Jesus here in our reading this morning said the workers that come in on the 11th hour will receive the same wage as the ones that's worked all day. And I tell you, you know, some people get jealous of that. Now you mightn't believe that, but that's the truth. Me and my wife went to preach for a man years ago, and his wife came out, and she basically just lit on the two of us. And she gave us a whole telling off that what we had, we'd only seen it lately, but she had been seeing it all her life. And what were we meant to do about that? Do you know what I mean? That wasn't my fault. And that's totally took back. That's in shock, to be honest with you. And that's preaching for them that morning. But I tell you, the Lord says it. The people that come in the 11th hour, and there's people that's going to be saved at the last minute. Now, I know a lot of people do all talk and they say, but I have no confidence in the last minute conversion. That's the same old boy that'll tell you, are you really saved? Are you really saved? And if you were saved and you had 10 minutes with that boy, he would let you believe you weren't saved. But the devil never told you you weren't saved until you got saved. And after you get saved, he spent the rest of the time since then to tell you're not saved and why you're not saved. But all you have to tell him is Romans 8. Romans 10 and 9, sorry. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God for their salvation. Now the 11th hour people could come in. The last calling of the Gentiles. You know, the world war stopped in the 11th month, the 11th year, and the 11th day of the month, the 11th hour, and the 11th day, and the 11th minute in the hour. That 11th hour people might come in, receive the same baptism of the Holy Spirit that they did back in the beginning, when the power of God moved on the day of Pentecost where the church began. We know that. That was the inauguration of the church. And the church began with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the way the church come in, she has to go out the same way. And I'm absolutely convinced, and I know there's a lot of people that want to pull out this knot for time, explain it away that God cannot do it today. I hate that, I'll be honest with you. Because I believe God's not changed. God can still do it. And we talk about great men God's used. God can still raise up a man and use him. Because he's God. Amen. Never be put off by what somebody says. You believe the Lord for yourself, for your life, for what God can do for you. He is Jehovah Jireh. I'll tell you that right now. You know, the Lord really spoke that to me last week. I probably should have preached on it, but he is definitely Jehovah Jireh. Now, the seventh angel message is open the mysteries of seven seals, calling the 11th hour Gentile workers to receive the same power the first workers got. Jesus taught it. He said there was people would come in the harvest. They're hired, and they did the early morning, and then in the evening, they got the same money. Amen, isn't that right? And then at the 11th hour, that's the last hour of the day, that someone come and receive the same kind of pay that they did at the first hour, at the last hour. And I believe in 1946, God demonstrated to the world that his power was still the same. That's what he did in the day of Pentecost. And God showed the power of God in a man of God. And he took him around the world seven times. And the power of God was there. And the dead were raised and everything. God has shown his power. And we talk about God's doing. It's an insult for to get into a pulpit and say God's doing nothing. For me, that's a real insult. Especially if you're saved. Because God done something to save you. And every soul is precious in the eyes of the Lord. And you have children that need to be saved. And you need to pray and believe God to save them. And God can and God will save them. And we need to have a boldness about us that we say, they're going to be saved because I'm claiming them in the Lord. We need to have that. God has shown us his power. God has shown us his power. And we are living in the last days. And I tell you, when you hear there's people protesting over there as well about that other crowd, I can't even, what do you call their name, brother? Palestinians. They're worrying about them, the genocide and all. You know, Israel's terrible, aren't they? What a bad bunch. They were laying in the bed and they come in and stole their children out, murdered them, shot pregnant women and everything. But they're a terrible bunch. That's the type of garbage is on the televisions. Fake news. But they're God's chosen people. And there's not one thing Sinn Féin or anybody else can do about it. Because they're God's chosen people. And I want to tell you, in this country, there is people of God. And there will remain people of God while this wee country's here. And we need to be praying more and more for those in authority. We need to pray for them. The Bible tells us to pray for them. That God will give them backbone. Amen. Now the messenger, God's messenger comes in each age. And they come on the day of Pentecost. And we know that Paul was a messenger of the first church age. Now think of that for a moment this morning. Paul came and God demonstrated Paul's ministry. And not only did God demonstrate Paul's ministry, but your Bible reads this. Special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. Paul was special because he was a messenger sent from God. And every time God sends a messenger, they're special. And God is messengers. He's messengers. And a brother Andrew read a scripture when he was here about the watchers. And I preached on that when I preached on the Daniel series when we were in Scarborough Orange Hall. Does anyone remember that? When I preached about the watchers watching. And there's watchers this morning and they're in this very service. The angels of the Lord are in this meeting because the Bible says the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. And you know, I was thinking this morning sitting here, it was the winter of 1984. In the front of a Mercedes car. That's why I love the Mercedes cars, brothers. 1984, when I come to the Lord. And I had a real experience of salvation. It was snowing heavy. There was a deep fall of snow. I didn't know even how the man got home. It was a winter time. I was outside my grandmother's house for the A1 tires is there in Drumore, and I came to the Lord. Then in 1989 again, in the winter time, coming to Christmas, the angel visited me in High Bank Jail. This is a special time of the year for me that we're coming into because of them facts. And when God takes me back over again, I never called myself to be a preacher. He called me. So it's up to the Lord. It's nothing to do with me. I'm useless, but it's the Lord that's done it. And he called me. And I know the things he's done in Czechoslovakia as well. That same one came again and showed me that it wasn't going to Russia and showed me the things that would take place. God many times sends an angel. You mightn't see that angel. You might know that angel's there. But the Lord has ministering angels sent forth to God's people. Many times the angel of the Lord's been near you, and me and you, we might even knew it. And he saved us. He's protected us. And we can't explain many things we can't explain. But everything's for a reason, and everything's for a purpose, and the secret things belong to the Lord. Now, I just want to mention briefly about the poppy. Then we're going to have a communion service, praise God. You know, we could look at the poppy, and I'm sure most people here is wearing a poppy this morning. And you, let me say this, be proud to wear a poppy. There's a lot of people on programs and in organizations in this country, and they will not wear a poppy. But yet with all relatives of them, if they were to search back, died in them wars. That's how ignorant they are. You're wearing a poppy because you're saying, I am remembering them people that they laid their lives down that we could have the freedom we have today. That's why you're doing it. You know, people say King Billy's not important. That kind of what? He was important, all right. You need to read the history of these things. I thank God for King Billy. King Billy came over here and he fought a war and we got freedom out of it. I tell you, you know, my father told me when he was a wee lad, his grandmother got him up on the to the table and she gave him a whole history of over here when they put the people in the barrels and they floated them down the rivers here and they drowned them and murdered them. And I tell you, think, Brother Tom, what's that got to do with anything? People in government today would do the same thing again if they could do it. They did try to do it through the IRA. And they say we're in a peace process, but their heart has never changed. They have never repented. Never repented. And anybody that doesn't repent is the same. That person is the same. Because the Bible says they must be regenerated by the power of God. And if a person's not regenerated, they're the same old person they were. Now you can dress them up and put a wig on them and a nice coat on them, but they're dead. They're dead as ever. And not only are they dead, there's murder in them. They're killers. And they never repented. And there's a judgment day coming. Judgment day. You be proud to wear your poppy. I'll tell you, and you go in and you can look more up than what I can tell you. But don't be afraid to wear it. Be proud of it. And I'll tell you, I'm proud. I'm proud. I have an Israel flag up in my office. And I'm proud of it. I should throw one up and I should put a couple of them up in this hall here, owner, and have one up. Yes. Tell you that, man, if I own this hall, I'd have a massive flag on it this morning. I support Israel. Amen. And I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. Because they're God's chosen people. And I won't be supporting any other second group. Amen. You can't go against Scripture. You must go with Scripture. And all they'll tell you, oh, you're breeding hatredism and you're doing this and that. They want to come back to it till when the Lord went into the temple and he took a whip and he beat them out of it. And he said, get out! You've turned the Lord's house into a den of thieves and robbers. Isn't that right? And Paul said, the axe is laid to the root of the trees, let the chips fall where they will. John, sorry, the Baptist said. Now you could look at this poppy, the black centre, but could speak of the evil and the devil. And unleashes that was unleashed during the wars. And man trying to take the souls from other men. And I tell you, there was a blackness in this country for years. Murder. People were blown to pieces for years. And you know that's absolutely the truth. We shouldn't be afraid to remember these things. You see this business, move on and forget everything. That's nonsense. Don't forget nothing. You need to know what you come from and where you're going to. And you need to study your enemy so you'll be ready for him the next time he moves. And I tell you, because the old dog's lying dormant, don't you think he'll not bark at you? Because someday you can hit him a kick and he'll still bite you. And he's still there. The old dog's still there. Now you'll have to read between the lines for that, but I know what I'm talking about. And I tell you, may the Lord help us. But that's the evil, the blackness. It was unleashed and took the souls of men. But the red petals are the blood of Christ. Praise God. Amen. That's the red, the darkness. And the saving of men's souls. Christ came to save. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The greatest testimony I've ever heard was that of two men, an IRA man and a policeman. And the policeman was blown up with an IRA man. He was blown to pieces and he survived. And the IRA man lost his hand in the ball. And they had to put a hook on him. He had no hand. And years later, that IRA man, when he was in jail, there were some youths, and they started to talk to him about the Bible. So he thought that he would go and learn the Bible to prove it wrong. And when he went to learn the Bible, he got saved. The top bomber in the IRA got saved. God saved him. That's the grace of the power of God we believe in this church. And I tell you, that policeman then, they moved him somewhere. And when they moved him, they warned him. And they said, you see the boy in charge here, you be very careful of him. It's not the devil how he works. Because, you see, he was a saved man. And they were telling him, be very careful, because he'll tell you you need to get saved. And he did. He preached him and he got saved. And he's in a church one night. And the pastor says, don't miss the night service. We have a very special speaker coming tonight to this meeting. And that night, that policeman was in the front row. There in the pulpit, he noticed a man and he kept watching him to see who this speaker was. And he couldn't right see him behind the pulpit, and he spotted the claw for the hand. And he got up, and there was the IRA man that bombed him. And that IRA man gave us testimony how he got saved. And at the end of the service, they threw their arms around each other. That's the grace and the power of God. But that's two men that was regenerated by God. But you see, there's people and they've never been moved by God. They've never been changed by God. Their heart's still black as pitch and dark as night. And only the power and the grace of God can change them. But God changed them two men. And I tell you, I look at the poppy, that the black is the evil and the red is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that red overpowers the black. There's more of the red and the poppy than there is of the black. And no matter how dark your soul was or how dark your sin is, and maybe even in this service this morning, the devil's told you all week, you're useless, you're no good. But Jesus' blood cleanses from all sin and from all unrighteousness. And I believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that it cleanses from all sin. From one man's obedience came about sin. Sin is an outward spiritual attitude or rebellion towards God, which is expressed in outward acts of disobedience. We're all sinners in this way, and by our sinful lives, we rob God of the glory due God. Sin's followed by three main consequences. I say this all the time because it doesn't need changed. See, like our brother Jordy said about that John Purcell's testimony, every time he hears it's the same, and it should be. But if you hear a man's testimony and it's different, you start to wonder, why is it different? It should be the same every time. Because you can't change what God's done, isn't that right? Inward spiritual death, or alienation from God, that's Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, the physical death of the body, and finally everlasting banishment from the presence of God and a place of darkness and torment. But Christ came to save us from our sins. All of us were guilty. All of us were far from God. But excuse me, Christ came and he took our sins upon himself. That's the thing that no other man could do. He took our sins. And I tell you this morning, Jesus can save. And I don't care even if there's a fella or a girl and they're a member of the rainbow community this morning. And you know what I mean by that? God can save them. God can deliver them. Let me tell you this testimony. And then I won't be too long and we'll have communion. You know, William Branham was preaching a service and it's on the tape and you can hear it. And in the middle of a sermon, he stops and he shouts out, "Soldier boy, the devil's lying to you. Don't kill yourself." And then he went on preaching. And people noticed this. It was really abrupt during the middle of the service what he'd done. After the meeting, he traveled and they stopped along the road to have lunch at a restaurant. And a man, a approached him, and he had a young soldier man with him. And he said, "Brother Branham, could you pray for this young man?" And he said, "Certainly, brother, when we finish our lunch, I will certainly pray for him." And there he sat with Ed Biskell. Ed Biskell then was a very young man. Ed Biskell must be near 90 now, if he's not 90. But he's in his 20s then. That's how long ago it is. And he said, "Now, Brother Biskell, do you know that young man?" And he said, "No." And he said, "If you knew him, I wouldn't tell you any of these things I'm going to tell you, but you don't know him." He said, "You see, he's married with two children, but he's a homosexual." And that's my words. "He's doing things he shouldn't be doing. Are you old enough to know? I don't know to say no more now. It's not all right." But after he took his lunch, him and that young man went down the side of the building by themselves. And the people standing back seen the young man's arms threw up, and he said, "I'm free." And God completely delivered him. Because the Lord showed his prophet what was wrong with him. And no man in the world could have knew it, but God showed his prophet it. And when he told him what his condition was, he called it a complex. He prayed for him, and God delivered him, and he was set free. So God can deliver people like that. There's no one too far down for the Lord. The drunkard on the corner, he can make a preacher. The drug addict, he can sober him from his drugs and fill him with the Holy Spirit. God can do it. Look at wee Sidney Murray in this country, a man who was fond of the drink. Look how God changed that wee man and used him. God can do it. We know Satan came and changed the word Eve in 2 Corinthians 11:3. "But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through its subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus." And you see, the devil wants to make things complicated, but God's word's so simple. Now, we're going to come and have communion. I'm not going to preach on any more this morning. I just want to share a few thoughts with you. I was blessed last Sunday night. I know I keep saying it, but what can I do about it? I'll be honest with you, I cried. On that chair there, the tears rolled down my face as that wee man shared his testimony. Because I seen someone that was real that I have not seen in a long time. And it was so simple. And I know my own self. You can study and try to have some big message, but yet with all, a one simple verse from the Lord can change everything. Just one simple verse. And I tell you, it'd be better with 5 minutes with something from God than an hour something from our own selves. Isn't that the truth? We want what the Lord has for us. Praise God. "For I have received of the Lord," 1 Corinthians 11:23, "that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." Now I know there's a lot of people want to examine you and they want to examine me. But God wants us to examine ourselves. And while we're here this morning, sitting, waiting, and praying, we need to examine ourselves. And I don't want you to say, "I'm not worthy, I can't do it." If you're not worthy, the blood of Jesus instantly makes you worthy. Instantly. Do you believe that this morning? It cleanses from all sin. You see, for us it's same. The Bible says we have an advocate with God the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sin. And the Epistle of John says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness." Thank God for the blood. We're coming this morning to remember the blood. And when I look at the poppies here this morning, and I see the black bit in the middle, I'm a thinking of her sin, and I see the red bit overpowers the black bit, because the blood of Jesus conquered. Conquered. Amen. Christ conquered him on the cross. Conquered him. He defeated the devil. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink this cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep, and that means physically dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. If you're really saved and you're serving the Lord, you can take communion. But you need to know you're saved and serving the Lord. And you need to be praying, washed in the blood of Jesus. But I know maybe there's some people need baptized. We never get around to baptizing people yet. But we'll do it. The Lord willing. How many believe we'll do it? Certainly we'll do it. Praise God. We'll have to hire somewhere some night, brother. We'll have a baptismal service. I want the deacons to come. And we've only two glasses this morning because the wee one we normally use, we had enough of them. Praise God. Let's bow our heads this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this bread and this wine, remembrance of your body. As we break this bread, we think of your body on that cross, cruelly treated. Lord, you suffered for us. You died for us. You never died for your own self. You never shed one drop of blood for your own self. But you did it for us, for your people. We thank you. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your precious blood. Precious to each one of us. Father, when you bless each one, we pray to take this bread and this wine and the ailment in the body, that you'll heal them and touch them.